This is the Hockey News Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the THN Podcast. I am writer-editor Matt Larkin. I'm here with senior writer Ken Campbell, associate senior writer Ryan Kennedy. And I have to say, we're really off into the start of the season now. It feels like things are happening. There was a lot of controversy on the weekend. Everything is happening tonight. It feels good. It feels good that we have some real dirty stuff to talk about.
There's some meat on the bones.
You know, if we look at a couple of the big issues of the weekend, one involving the Montreal Canadiens, the other one involving the Toronto Maple Leafs, we were talking about it before the podcast started. We can't decide if we have anything to say that hasn't been said already, but, you know, we feel it's important to just touch on these issues in a Cliff Notes kind of way. So we'll start with Al Montoya. Ken, in 5 seconds, tell us, would you have left him in? Would you have brought Carey Price in?
Leave him in. Don't care how Montoya feels about it. Doesn't matter. You're saving Carey Price for the big games. Guy's there. You're losing anyways. Take your lumps, and that's why Al Montoya is getting paid what Al Montoya is getting paid.
Yeah, that's it. It's a one-time deal. You can't have Carey Price play 75 games. Sorry, Al.
Agreed all the way. And I don't think Montoya's ego was bruised. I think he understands, like, hey, I'm taking one for the team here. This is why I'm brought in. Price is obviously not fragile, but we know he's on a pitch count, and it would have been silly to bring him in when the game was 6-0, 8-0. So, put a stamp on it, moving on, we're
so
done.
So he's not going to go the rest of his career looking for revenge, is he?
No.
Although if you want revenge...
My name is Al Montoya.
You killed my father.
You let me in for 10 goals one night.
Mandy Patinkin.
No, you don't.
Trey him in the movie.
I was going to say, though, if you wanted revenge on Columbus, it probably wouldn't be that hard to achieve.
All right, next Cliff Notes topic. Nazem Kadri hit Daniel Sedin. Everybody has gotten on their soapbox already, had something to say. Where do you guys weigh in? Should he have been suspended?
Shouldn't have been suspended because you can't suspend Nazem Kadri for anything he's done in the past, so it doesn't matter what his rap record is or his rap sheet is. And secondly, it's a dumb rule by the NHL. They should have a rule that penalizes these hits, but they don't. And no suspension.
Yeah, shoulder-to-shoulder hit. If you don't want blindside hits in the league, make a blindside hit rule, and then you can suspend guys, but you can't do it now.
Yep, we're all in agreement, and as I said this morning during our meeting, it's Matt Cook on Mark Savard. Horrible hit, but at the time, legal check to the head hadn't been amended, rule 48.1. You have to change the rule or make it be, and then you can start calling the play as illegal. Can't do anything about it with Nazem, and he gets off.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And what I liked was, you know, Yannick Hansen jumping in and fighting a guy for a clean hit. I just love it.
I can't stand
that. I
cannot
love it when
stand
guys fight
that.
Other guys because of clean hits. Like, that's so awesome and amazing.
And there's irony there.
I don't mean that.
Yes, he's making a very sarcastic face. But it's funny, there's an irony of that too. You know, the tough guy mentality, I got to stick up for my teammate, eh? But you're jumping in when it was a good clean hit. The same guys who say, oh, they want to take hitting out of the game,
yeah, exactly.
Are the same guys with the mentality to jump in and police after a clean hit.
Yeah.
Drives me crazy.
And, you know, Matt Martin, who's there to keep the peace out there and to make sure everybody's safe, goes after a 5'10" defenseman. That's good. I'm glad that you know, there's guys out there, you know, that there's guys like Matt Martin to protect everybody from guys like Matt Martin.
Well said. Okay, we're done. We're done with the lightning round. Now let's talk some different stuff. Every time I look at the standings, I double take, and I see the New York Rangers, not just the fact that they're in first place, but their goals. They're scoring like a team mm-hmm. from the heyday of the 1980s. We know that's going to regress a little bit just because of the era in which they play. But what do you guys think of the Rangers so far? Are they the best team in the NHL? Are they for real?
I definitely think they're for real. You know, when you watch them play, they're a really smart team and they're a really fast team. So, for example, against Winnipeg, who they thrashed 5-2, no pun intended, Atlanta.
Hey-o!
There was so many counterattacks because the Jets had so many young kids with great speed, you know, coming up the ice, but the Rangers would turn it back, and, you know, several of those goals came off Jets turnovers where you had Rangers speeding up the other way, and they were putting good shots on Hellebuck. A couple I thought should have been stopped because Hellebuck went down too fast, but that's a scouting report that New York clearly had and took advantage of. the breadth of scoring too is incredible. You know, just through those first couple of
Nick Holden, who knew? Nick Holden, who knew?
Yeah, he's a thing.
How many goals he got? Three. Four
he did
goals?
That in Colorado a couple years ago. They were have a weird goal scoring anomaly season. So it's his thing. It's what he does. Apparently,
for a while. Yeah, you look at the top 30 goal scorers in the league. I think five of them are Rangers, including Michael Grabner with 7. And then they got four guys with 6. Not even including JT Miller, who has 13 points. So he's like a point per game guy already. It's different lines. And then, of course, you have Lundqvist in net, who, if you get too past him, you consider yourself lucky.
I think part of it, too, is, you know, I mean, there's guys this year that are having better years than they've had in the past. I mean, Rick Nash, who I guess is deciding this year he wants to be good again. You know, I guess he goes 1 year where he was really good and then goes 1 year where he's not so good. So, you know, I mean, he's been great on that first line with Vesey and Steppen. You know, I think, you know, a guy like Dan Girardi, who was the worst player in the history of the world, I think, last year. I think that was actually, he was actually deemed the worst player who's ever actually played the game.
According to analytics, yes.
And I mean, he's coming back with a big year. And Henrik Lundqvist is a guy who's, if I'm not mistaken, and I don't think I am, he's been a notoriously slow starter.
Always.
Yeah, like big time slow starter, and really takes a while to get into the groove. And you know, he's a guy that's you know, he's obviously playing like Henrik Lundqvist, you know, is supposed to be playing. And so yeah, I do think they're for real. I do think they're a good team. I really like their defense. I like the way it's made up. You know, you've got, you know, Brady Skay and Brady Skay and Kevin Klein as the third pairing. That's pretty solid. You've got three, you know, very solid lines, and then a pretty good fourth line. You know, Michael Grabner, who couldn't play for Toronto, apparently can play for somebody else.
He's got speed. He's got wheels.
Yeah.
And, you know, my hat goes off to Jeff Gorton, because the Rangers are a team that I think a lot of people in hockey media, including us, we like to harp on them because they never have draft picks ever. Like, they had Brady Skay in 2012. They didn't pick again in the first round until... Have they yet? Did they pick this year in the first round, or is it,
no.
they're still waiting, right? So
Sean
Day. That's right.
It was like in the
80th or something. Yeah.
And then when they do pick a first rounder, it's Dylan McIlrath.
Yes, that's right. So, you know, they're a team that we like to harp on because they always mortgage their future. But Jeff Gorton, quietly, at least in terms of the forwards, he actually added a lot of youth. You know, he traded Derek Brassard. He got younger, bringing in Mika Zibanejad. Obviously, Pavel Buchnevich came over from the KHL. Mm-hmm. He was already their property, but he was added to the team. And you signed Jimmy Vesey. So to me, those are moves that were sort of under the radar because people were assuming the Rangers were just doing their Ranger thing, where they have a lot of old veterans and they just sort of creak along. And I think we had them just out of the playoffs in our preseason predictions for our THN yearbook. And I think a reason for that was just we felt like this team had peaked. It was on the decline. But it's very interesting because they've got so many players who are swingmen, who can play center or the wing, JT Miller, Kevin Hayes, guys like that.
Mika Zibanejad. Who was very good for them at the beginning. Mm-hmm. It's kind of leveled off a bit. But even a guy like Brandon Peary, you know, that's a real kind of...
Sneaky,
quiet signing that, you know, that ends up looking pretty good. Mm-hmm. When Brandon Peary is your fourth line center, that's not bad.
That's right. To me, this team is for real. Maybe not this for real, so not for real for real. I do expect a little bit of regression. I think later in the year they're going to have to trade for a defenseman. I'm not sold on the Dan Girardi comeback story just yet. Sorry, Dan. So I could see them trading a first round pick to get a defenseman at the deadline.
Come on!
Yeah, I could see
every Ranger
skipped. Yeah, they're allergic to draft picks. It's okay. It's a condition, you know. So on the flip side of the coin, we do have a few teams that are off to uncharacteristically slow starts or characteristically slow starts. Which coach do you think is in the hottest of hot seats right now?
I think we all know who that is.
Should we count the three and say it? 3, 2, 1. I said Jack Capuano.
Mind blown.
So we got two Willie Desjardins and one Jack Capuano.
It's your East Coast bias.
That's right. All right, well, you guys talk about Willie, then I'll talk about Jack.
Both those guys are, you know, the handkerchief is going over their eyes right now as we speak.
they're going out for a ride in the desert.
Yeah, and Willie Desjardins, I mean, this is really through, I don't think, really much fault of his own. I mean, this is a bad team. Yeah. It's badly constructed. We talked about this before. We don't know what the heck these guys are doing and, you know, what their plan is here. It just seems like they're picking the wrong time to tank. They should have done it before now, but they're going to tank for a couple of years. And, I mean, can anybody else come in and do anything with this group better than Willie Desjardins can? Probably not, but... I mean, when you keep losing like this, you've got to do something, and I would assume that he's going to be the first casualty. I still think, personally, and I'm not basing this on anything other than reading tea leaves, is that I think Jim Benning won't be far behind. Mm-hmm. And I honestly think that Dale Talon is going to be the next GM of the Vancouver Canucks. I believe that to the very soul of my being. I believe that. That's how freaking... much I believe that.
Ken's face looks really intense right now.
That's right. Yeah. And I would add that you have a pretty good contingency plan because Travis Green is your AHL coach in Utica. He's seen as one of the best coaching prospects out there. He's already in your organization.
Yeah, but you want to put him in this shit show?
Well,
so maybe you wait till the end of the year.
No, you do not wait because that's when you ended up hiring Randy Carlyle again.
Yeah.
No, you put him in because there's no expectation this year. You let him implement his system. You let him get in with those younger guys, some of which he already has experience with, and you let him create his team, his philosophy. You know Benning's probably on the outs, but when you're interviewing for new GMs, you say, Travis Green is our guy. How do you feel about that? Let's figure this puzzle out. And you go from there. And you're right, it's the wrong time to tank. They're not in a great shape because, like, you know, you can be bad, but how bad can you be when you still have the Sedin twins?
Louis Erickson for 6 years!
Yeah,
Come on!
So you've got some rot to clear out, much like the Maple Leafs had to do the past couple of years. But as we're seeing with this Toronto team now, there's light at the end of the tunnel. It can be done. Somehow you will find somebody to take on Dion Phaneuf's contract. I don't know if Ottawa's in the market for Louis Erickson, but, you know, there's always some sort of solution. I think with Capuano, the only thing I would say is, you know, the Islanders, not only did they make the playoffs last year, but they went to the second round. So I think there might be a little more of a leash on him, but I would agree wholeheartedly, Vancouver, just, it's all got to be... knockdown.
It's interesting too because I think there's a similarity with Benning, with Desjardins and Capuano that I think both guys are struggling to sort of sort through the wreckage created by the GM. And I think the Isles, yes, they made the playoffs last year, but I really don't think they're going to make it this year the way things are going. And I think if you're going to point a finger, a lot of the fans want Capuano's head, but I think the head that needs to roll first might be Garth Snow. So if you look at the contracts he signed this summer, I mean, they couldn't keep Franz Nielsen, they couldn't keep Kyle Okpozo. Yeah. Andrew Ladd looks like a disaster so far.
Oh, great.
Max term.
Great, that was going to be my guy that everybody should worry about for the next segment.
Well, let's pivot.
Okay, let's pivot. There you go. I planned this, okay?
No, the Islanders, I mean, it's interesting because Garth Snow has made some... He's drafted pretty well.
Uh-huh. But we think so. But, good. I mean, has Michael Dalcol panned out yet? Has Ryan Strom panned out yet? No. If you go through all these guys that on paper, they're supposed to have this big, great group of prospects. Yeah. Anders Lee has regressed as well. Ryan Pulak, they don't seem to want to give a chance, and even though he's got that big shot. Griffin Reinhardt was a huge bust. They traded him away.
Yeah. So they got Matt Barzal for him.
They got Matt Barzal. But again, Matt Barzal, we don't know yet. We think he's going to be great. Like Josh Hosang's got a fair amount of potential.
Beauvillier is going to be pretty good too.
Yeah, Beauvillier sticking was a big one.
Yeah,
and it's funny. Like it almost feels like with those Islanders kids that they need more pressure on them. We saw good years from Ryan Strome when the pressure was on, but once he got comfortable, it seemed to regress a bit. And I wonder if it's really a situational thing where, you know, for whatever reason, the kids they draft need to have their feet held to the fire in order to perform. Now, is that on Snow? Is that on Capuano? I guess that, you know, remains to be seen.
It's a fair question. And now we can transition because Ken and I were just telepathically linked. The next topic of this podcast was going to be which star player who started really slowly are you worried about? And we're going to guess that Ken's going to kick it off with Mr. Andrew Ladd.
Yeah, wow. Well, I'm not sure if I'd be more worried if I were him or if I were an Islanders fan.
Yeah.
For that 7-year contract.
And it's buyout proof. It's loaded with bonuses.
Yeah, and he's playing now. Now he's on the fourth line. Albeit a fourth line with Casey Cizikas as his center, Nikolai Kuhlman as his right winger. which is pretty good fourth line.
They love their fourth lines in New York.
Yeah, they do. Well, yeah. I just wonder if, like, I've always said this about players, like, the players don't change, you know? That's why when a guy's in a good situation, like the poster boy for all of this, David Clarkson, you stay in that situation, mm-hmm. you know? Players don't get worse. Well, they do as they age, but it's expectation that changes, right? Like, and once you ramp up those expectations for a guy like Andrew Ladd, who is a good, serviceable guy, shows some leadership, you know, has scored some big goals and has had a pretty decent career, you know, I'm not sure if it was expectation that changed or, you know, with that contract, but I'd be a little worried right now about him.
And I think just the speed of the game, what we're seeing now is so many of these veterans, and I mean, not even guys that are super, super old, but they're struggling, maybe just because of the pace of the game. You know, Todd McClellan, the coach of the Oilers, had a really interesting quote when he was in Toronto. Obviously, you know, people are asking him about Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews, both of whom he coached with Team North America, and obviously McDavid being his captain in Edmonton. And he was saying that the young stars today never played clutch-and-grab hockey at a high level. Yeah. They grew up after that. They played free hockey. They want to play fast, and they can play fast. Mm-hmm. A guy like Andrew Ladd, you know, he saw the tail end of that. And I wonder if you get sort of set in those ways where you expect a certain level of interference, if you will, and when it's not there for other players, you have trouble catching up. I mean, it is early, hard to say, but I mean, we're seeing a lot of veterans struggle and even just lose their jobs flat out, and you're seeing teams go heavy on youth and not get dinged too bad for it. You just kind of wonder where things are going.
Good. It's funny, a guy I'm worried about, a much different type of player, but someone the light doesn't seem to turn on, is Jordan Eberle. It seems every year he's got every opportunity in the world on paper. He's always got that plum line mate assignment. He's starting the year with McDavid and Milan Lucic. Oilers are starting to experiment a little bit game by game,
Lucic slightly. Dreisaitl and somebody else on
right. And they have Maroon on the top line.
Yeah.
And Eberle, he's a guy, I mean, the talent is there. In theory, he can play fast. He should be a great match with McDavid. He should be putting up huge points. He's been a 30-goal guy. He's been a 70-point guy before. There's no logical explanation to me for Eberle not clicking for him. The only thing I can think of, it's not really a tangible thing, but is he a vestige of the losing culture in Edmonton?
Is he a good bad team player?
Is he the next Andrew Brunette?
Yeah.
Right? Is he a guy that just, I don't know, is he a guy who's going to be best served playing on Las Vegas, lighting it up? He makes $6 million.
Yeah. And I would also add Dan Hamhuis not exactly killing it in Dallas so far.
Oh boy.
Terrible possession numbers. I believe he even got scratched for a game.
Yeah.
And he was supposed to shore up their D with some of their losses.
Speaking of Dallas, that was two good games this weekend between Chicago and Dallas.
That's true.
Yeah, they were good. They were fast. They were intense. Yeah. They were both close games.
Central division, man.
Good. Yeah. Those were good games.
It was the Stephen Johns Bowl. Or the Johnny Oduya Bowl.
That's right.
Or the Patrick Sharp Bowl.
The former Hawk Bowl, yeah.
Oh, I get it. Oh, okay.
Yeah, guys who were involved in those trades.
The Antoniemi Bowl, if you will.
That's right.
I will.
All right. For the next segment of the podcast, it's only the second time we're doing this, but we're so excited because we did it for the first time last week and we loved it. It's a game invented by our web editor, Ian Denemy, who quietly slinked into the room a couple minutes ago. It's time to play Was He a Ranger?
There's no theme song for it. There
should be a theme song.
Maybe there should be.
What's their goal song?
I don't think it's a real song.
Yeah.
I think they just
They've had it for years, too.
We'll mix it in.
It's true.
Okay, let's get right to it. I'm going to start you guys off with a good one. J.J. Daniel.
Ranger.
Yeah, I see Ranger in him.
I'm going to go non-Ranger, but I don't feel too confident about it.
He was not a Ranger.
Oh!
The Rangers were not among his 10 NHL teams.
Wow.
Okay. Wow.
I was too confident in that.
All right.
Shall I go again?
Definitely.
Why not?
All right. Goaltender Alex Auld.
He was Ranger. A Ranger, I feel like, before Steve Valiquette was there.
I'm going to go Ranger. Yeah, I'm feeling Ranger.
He was a Ranger.
Just
3 games, but he was a Ranger.
Well, he probably played 3 games. He was probably there for about 50.
True, he played.
He probably had a roster for about 50.
Good job, Hank. Yeah. He also played for a lot of NHL teams.
He did. Mm-hmm. And he's a product of Thunder Bay.
That's true.
I drove through there once.
Thanks, Pierre Maguire.
He plays in those...
Who, the same hometown as Matt Murray.
Mm. And
Matt Murray, like, has an Alex Auld story. I think Alex Auld, like, donated some equipment sometime, that one time that he used to the minor hockey and association. And this is a real great story.
Cool story, bro. This is one of those stories where you start it, you're like, oh, man, I got to finish this story.
Now I'm going down the rabbit hole and I can't get out.
Here's a good Thunder Bay story. There's a summer game, or at least there used to, in Thunder Bay, featuring Auld and the Stahl brothers and anybody else that's around there. And the rules of the game are only Stahls are allowed to hit Stahls. It's a non-contact game unless your name is Stahl. So Mark can wipe out Eric, or like Eric can hit Jared, and it's cool, but like none of them can hit like any other player in the game, and no player can hit a Stahl.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Hmm.
That's a story.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not so sure. That might be in the good story, bro.
That's an anecdote.
A great story, bro, too. Thing.
I'm just excited to learn something about Jared Stahl's whereabouts.
Haven't
heard about him for a while.
Sure.
I wonder if he's like running the sod business now.
I don't know.
I wonder if he's a Ranger.
That's a good segue. You got another one?
All right, I'll give you one more.
Okay.
Mark Tenorti.
Wow.
Mm. I feel like he might have been part of a blockbuster trade after his North Stars days.
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to go no as well.
I'm going to go yes.
He was a Ranger.
Oh!
Boom!
24 games in the 87-88 season.
Nice.
Mm, wow.
Okay, so now we go around the table.
Yes.
I always go old school with this. Doug Harvey.
He was a Ranger.
He was a Ranger.
He absolutely was a Ranger. He won his last Norris Trophy with the Rangers in 61-62.
Mm-hmm. There
you go. You guys ever heard of Cesar Maniego?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, was he a Ranger?
No. Yes, I don't know.
You know what? I'm going to say yes because I know he played for some expansion teams, so I feel like he might have had to start it somewhere.
Yeah, 6 games for the Rangers.
There you go.
Okay,
so I got one, but I can't remember if we did it last week or if it was, but I just came across it. Tim Horton.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think we did it, but I'm not sure. And I don't think he was ever a Ranger.
I mean, he played in the state of New York, but I'm going to say no.
Tim Horton was a Ranger.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
All right. I was sifting through the guidebook, and I randomly saw that.
Okay.
Okay, I got one for you guys. Kevin Hatcher.
Ooh. Ooh.
I'm gonna say not a Ranger. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
Like, when
so
you guys
confident.
Are playing this game, do you try and picture him in the uniform?
Totally.
Yeah. That's how I play
this
game.
Yeah, like, Capital for sure.
And when I pick a guy, I don't know if he was a Ranger either, then I look it up. Because I pick a guy that genuinely...
I'll say not a Ranger.
Okay.
I'm saying not a Ranger.
I'm going to go Ranger.
And Denemy is right. He was a Ranger for one season at the end of his career.
Pathetic this weekend, though.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Yeah.
My not a Ranger Corsi is... terrible. This might MPD.
It's Dan Hamhuis slick, if
Dan
you will.
Dan Hamhuis like, yeah.
See how I brought it all back there? Yeah.
Linkage.
Well, on that note, everyone, hope you enjoyed Was He a Ranger? Hope you enjoyed the podcast, and we will be back next week. Thank you for listening.